Hello, this is Ron Clark, bringing you Lesson 7 in the Magic of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Adonai. I wish to introduce you to an advanced usage of the magic of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Adonai that I call setting the tone of the temporal moment. By this technique, one creates conditions within the material realm that are in harmony with the realization of a specific desire. For example, once a week I drive 35 miles each direction along both freeway and narrow back roads to volunteer a few hours at a food bank. Each week before departing, I use this setting the tone technique to assure that I will have a safe journey to and fro, that my time at the food bank will be pleasant, and that I will succeed in putting smiles on several faces while I'm there. As a consequence, I have never had an accident on either freeway or on the narrow back roads. My time at the food bank is always pleasant, and I invariably succeed in making folks smile. Another example was one day I was having difficulties with my computer's CD burner, and I had a fair-sized order of CDs that needed burning. So I used this technique to set the tone of smooth operating. It was like making a groove in a blank record, after which it was no problem to deposit myself and my CD burner into that groove. As a consequence, I was able to finish the needed CD burning without further difficulty. As a final example, I used this technique right before sitting down to write this new lesson. With it, I set the tone for a successful completion of my task, for clarity of mind, and for a lack of interruptions. These, of course, are just three rather mundane examples of what is possible to accomplish with this technique. Nonetheless, it is best to begin with something simple and practical when learning the technique. So I will be using my final example as a template for my explanation of the technique. First, I will give a detailed description of the technique within the context of my template, and then I will guide you through the technique step by step as you apply it to a matter of your own choosing. It took me a matter of just a few seconds to set the tone for this writing session, but I dare say it will take me far longer to describe in detail what occurred during those few seconds. This is just as well, since when you're first learning this technique, it's essential that you take your time and move very slowly through the visualizations I will be describing. But before I go any further, I must say something about visualization. For the trained magician, there's but a hair's breadth of difference between visualizing something and perceiving it as an accomplished fact. The reason for this is the strength of the trained mental will. When a thing is visualized with a strong mental will, a strong presence is created within the mental realm itself. Within the mental realm, the law of like attracts like holds sway. So when you insert a strong visualization into the mental realm, the realization of that visualization is immediately drawn to it, and the visualization becomes a fact of reality instead of just an imagination. Of course, it takes time for this mental template to sink through the layers of density and become a physical reality, but on the mental plane, the transition from imagination to factual reality is instantaneous. This mental plane law of like attracts like is important. It's the key to how one travels around the infinite mental plane. It's the root of many forms of magic, and it's the basis upon which several of the exercises of initiation into Hermetics were constructed. For example, the Step 3 work with the elements is based upon this law. The student begins by creating a multi-sense imagination that the element surrounds them and stretches infinitely in every direction. This creates a very strong presence within the mental realm, to which is attracted the mental reality of the imagined element. In this way, the student connects with the real element through the application of their own imagination. And because this is a multi-sense imagination, it will sink immediately into an astral density, and the student will connect with the astral element as well. But it is only because of the mental formation and consequent mental connection that the astral connection results. In other words, without the mental connection, no astral connection would ensue. In Lesson 7, I will instruct you to visualize certain things, But really these need to become more than mere imagination and grow into actual perception of factual reality. However, your imagination will become stronger and stronger through repeated practice, and you will achieve that transition from imagination to perception of factual reality. So, on to my description. I begin by uttering the Ani. Simultaneously, I am placing my awareness in Kether. In Kether, I look down upon the whole of reality, the eternal and the temporal. My perspective is as if from above, and implies a certain detachment, yet I am completely connected with all that I see. It and I are one, yet I have focused my awareness above it, so that I can look down upon it. The primary thing that catches my Kethric eye is a thin white thread that stretches from my Kethric self all the way down to my little Ron self, who just uttered the word Ani. This thread passes through Chokmah, and thereby highlights Chokmah to my vision. It passes also through the greater self Swantha, of which the small Ron self is an aspect, and thereby highlights Bina to my vision. Furthermore, it passes through the individual Ron self, and thereby highlights Tiferet to my vision. And at its end, the thread lies rooted in the small Ron self, who first uttered the Ani. I focus my Kethric consciousness upon this single white thread, and as I speak the Yod through my small Ron self, I follow that descending thread and lower my Kethric self into Chokmah, the place of choice. I fill Chokmah with my Kethric awareness, and choose to follow the thread further. As I utter the first He through my small Ron self, I follow the thread and lower my Kether Chokmah self into Bina and the Swantha greater self. I fill Swantha with my Kether Chokmah awareness, and sense my eternal surroundings. Then, with my Kether Chokmah Bina awareness, I look down upon my individual Ron self within the temporal realm. As I utter the Vav through my small Ron self, I follow the thread and lower my Kether Chokmah Bina self into Tiferet and the individual Ron self. I fill the individual Ron self with my Kether Chokmah Bina awareness and sense my temporal surroundings. Then, with my Kether Chokmah Bina Tiferet awareness, I look down upon my small Ron self within the finite temporal moment. As I utter the final He through my small Ron self, I follow the thread and lower my Kether Chokmah Bina Tiferet self into Malkuth and the small Ron self. I fill Ron with my Kether Chokmah Bina Tiferet awareness, and sense my time-space surroundings. Then, with my unified Kether Chokmah Bina Tifereth Malkuth awareness, I speak the Adonai, and the rainbow-hued light erupts around me. This light exists as a consequence of the unification of these five layers of my awareness within this temporal moment. Then I inhale this cloud of light into the material body of my small Ron self by pulling it inward in a clockwise spiral motion, like water going down the drain of a sink. If you have trouble visualizing this clockwise spiral motion, then I suggest that you plug a sink and fill it with water. Then unplug the sink, and as the water drains, move your hand clockwise through the water and create a strong clockwise current. This is how the indraw feels. It pulls in from the edges towards center in a right-to-left arc. The expulsion of the light outward uses this same clockwise motion, in which case the light fans out from center. So, having inhaled the cloud of light into myself, through my exhale, I speak the Ribono Shel Olam, with my Kether Chokmah Bina Tiferet Malkuth awareness, and send this light outward unto eternity. I see the rainbow-hued light spread immediately throughout the temporal universe, and I follow its passage inward, and feel it as it strikes in succession my Tiferet, Bina, Chokmah, and Ketherick selves. This raises my Kether Chokmah Bina Tiferet Malkuth awareness up to Kether, and I am united in Kether in the same way I am united in Malkuth. With the inhalation of my material body within the finite temporal moment, my Kether Chokmah Bina Tiferet Malkuth awareness is drawn back down into Malkuth, and as I speak the Amen with my unified consciousness and will, the cloud of light re-solidifies around my material body. As I inhale, I draw the cloud of light again into my material body in a clockwise spiral motion. As I exhale, I speak the Amen again with my fully unified awareness and send the light outwards into the fabric of time, again with a clockwise spiral motion. I should explain that sending the light into the fabric of time is different than sending the light out to the edges of the infinite universe. Here I am sending it outward from the present finite moment of rigid time-space into the ocean of possible futures that surround this finite present moment. This feels very different than sending the light out into just the present moment alone. When sending it into the fabric of time, there is a sense of boundlessness, whereas when sending it into the present moment alone, there is a contrasting sense of rigidity and physicality, as if you're passing through matter itself. Here, however, you're not passing through matter. Instead, you're passing through the as-yet-unwoven fabric of time. Since the desire I bring to the use of this magic today is that I might find the right words in writing this lesson, I send that mental desire out with the light on its journey into the fabric of time. My mental impress acts as a magnet that draws what I seek to me, and draws me to what I seek. The cloud expands until its edges reach the possible future temporal moment in which there is a realization of my desire. At that point, the spreading light ceases to expand. I have made contact with the potential future I sought, and there is no reason to probe further. With an inhale of breath, I draw the light back into my material body again, using a clockwise spiral motion. As the light returns to me, I feel that it has bound my goal and I together. It has connected us and forms a bridge between us. That bridge is built out of my desire to be successful in the creation of Lesson 7. What I have done here is to anchor the light upon a specific possible future. This enables me to locate that specific moment again with the next sending out of light, and provides me with a target I need to harmonize my present moment with. In other words, I will now begin the process of truly setting the proper tone for the moments that ensue between this present one and the possible future that I've anchored the light to. By using the Adonai light to fill that temporal gap between my present moment and that specific possible future moment, I have created a vibrational continuum between the energetic frequencies of these two different moments in time-space. I am at one point in the spectrum of rainbow-hued light, and the future moment is at another point in that spectrum. And before me lies the unbroken continuum of color which blends my point in the spectrum with that of the future moment. So, having drawn the light back into my material body and into the present moment, I exhale and speak the Amen again with my fully unified awareness, sending the light outwards into the fabric of time once more. It expands with a clockwise spiral motion until it reaches my target moment once again. As it expands, the continuum between moments becomes clearer and more solid, and these two moments are brought into closer harmony. This also strengthens my grasp upon that future moment, which increases its likelihood a thousandfold. With the inhale, I draw the light back again into my material form and into the present moment. This alters the present moment and brings it into closer harmony with the likely future moment. For a third and final time, I again speak the Amen with my fully unified awareness and send the light out on its journey to my target moment. As the light expands, the continuum between moments is enlivened and brought still closer to the realm of probability and ultimate actualization. When it touches the target moment, the target is moved firmly into the realm of probability. So much so, in fact, that it is now not likely that it would not occur. With the final inhalation, I draw the light back into my material body and draw the vibration of my target moment back with me into the present moment. As the light returns, the continuum becomes absolutely solid, and there is no doubt that this target moment containing success will manifest. I close with a moment of thankfulness and return to my relatively mundane awareness. When I sat down to write several minutes later, I completely surrounded myself and my target moment with white light, and thereby set myself on the path which invariably leads to that future moment. This final step of encircling oneself and one's target with white light is what sets you upon the path to your goal, no matter how long a time has lapsed between your work of setting the tone and your actually setting foot on the path. Circling both ends of the continuum with white light will bring you immediately into harmony with the path. The work of setting the tone carves a metaphorical groove, and circling yourself and your target with white light puts you in that groove, which leads to only one place, your target. For example, I will not finish writing Lesson 7 in one sitting. I will have to go water my garden soon, which means that I will have to later reclaim my position in this groove. It will take several days, possibly, to complete this task of writing, recording, and then posting it all on my website, so I will need to jump in and out of that groove, so to speak, several times before I have met face to face with my target moment. All I have to do to get myself back into the groove is to surround myself and my target with white light. As I hinted at the beginning, this setting the tone technique has countless applications and an equal number of possible variations. One internal variation that I'd like to mention has to do with the initial phase of anchoring. Aside from your target moment, you can also anchor the light to interim moments that exist within the continuum of separation between your present moment and your ultimate target. This is especially beneficial for longer range goals. For example, with the working I just described, I could have also anchored onto the moment that I finish writing Lesson 7 and the moment I finish recording Lesson 7, in addition to my target moment of total completion. Having these three anchors instead of just one makes a journey to a final destination somehow easier to manage. It's like when taking a long road trip. If one sees a few familiar landmarks along the way, the long journey then splits itself into shorter parts. This provides clear markers that help define one's progress. Multiple anchors are, as I said, most practical for longer-term goals, so I have not felt the need for them here in this instance. Anchoring is also an important factor when you wish to adapt this technique for healing another person or for bestowing the blessing of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh-Adonai upon another person. Both of these adaptations will be covered in future lessons. Well, I think I've completely exhausted my ability to describe the technique, so let's move on to the practice.